Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Derek? Derek, have you seen Gary?
No, I haven't.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's right. He said he wasn't going to be in today. That's right. Hey, this is Ed Bondarenka covering for Gary. And this is the Drift Radio Show. And welcome to it. And what we do on the Drift Radio Show is we cover the news on thedailydrift.com. And you should go there. It's the news you need to know. I got that right this time. So it's at thedailydrift.com. I handled that already. And so, like I said, welcome to the show. You can email Gary at The Daily Drift. You can listen to us if you miss us. You can listen again on Spreaker, SoundCloud, Talk America Radio, US. And now we are broadcasting in the South on three terrestrial stations down there. WDDQ, Talk 92.1 of Valdosta, Georgia. WJHC Talk 107.5 in Jasper, Florida, and WLBB News Talk 1330 FM 106.3 in Carrollton, Georgia on Sunday nights. And so it's nice to be talking to you guys, even though it's slightly tape delayed and we're not really using tape either. So, but it's nice to be there. So right now I've got a guest in-house, Al. Al has come to visit and talk for a bit. And it sounds suspiciously like Al Gore, but it's really a friend of mine, Al Wassel, from work. We worked together about 25 years ago, right, Al?
Right, at Willow Run Assembly.
Yeah, yep. Al's called in a few times. You may recognize his voice. We were kidding before how we should do an interview with him as Al Gore, but I've decided to pass on that. So it was kind of interesting finding out that, let's put it this way. I was on Theron's Facebook page one day, and there were a number of comments, and I made a comment. And down the list of comments is a comment by a guy named Alex Wassel. And I thought, well, that's interesting. How many Alex Wassels can there be in the world? But the Alex Wassel I knew was a very liberal person. We used to get into quite a lot of discussions at work together. And I was quite surprised, and I contacted Alex. And what was your reaction, Al?
Well, it was nice to talk to you again. You know, working at Willow Run Assembly, I always thought you're a pretty sharp guy on the equipment. And but yeah, we basically came from different ends of the spectrum. But I'll tell you what, there's hope for people out there because I came to realize by listening to Theron, among other people, that yeah, there's a valid viewpoint from the right. You enunciated very well. And there's a logic to the arguments that can't be neglected or ignored. Unlike the left, that seems to just scream and holler and try to shut down free speech, I think you guys promote free speech.
Yeah, well, thanks. Nice ringing endorsement. So, yeah, that's actually a website blog I go to, neoneocon.com. And she's all about changers there, people who have changed their political belief, she herself being one. I mean, I was very liberal when I was a kid, you know. And what was it Churchill said? If you're very young and liberal and conservative, you don't have a heart. And if you get older and you're liberal, you don't have a brain. Something like that. I got to memorize that quote someday. So before we go much further, I want to talk about an advertiser in the Current newspaper. One of our new advertisers who's been there before, Specialty Growers. You can see them at specialtygrowers.net. They're located about 10 acres midway between Brighton and Howell in Livingston County. The pastoral setting serves as both the home and business of the owners. And during open houses, gardeners are welcome to shop the entire Specialty Growers stock while they enjoy the country atmosphere and admire the spectacular floral displays. Their staff is on hand to assist with a selection of plants and to answer gardening questions. And believe it or not, it's getting close to gardening time, right? I mean, it hit 55 yesterday. I got stuff popping up in my front yard. I wasn't sure it was going to come back. So Specialty offer Specialty Growers opens open. Ooh, Specialty Growers offers open houses, and a delightful way to shop and get acquainted with other garden enthusiasts. And the spring open house is May 26, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. At 1 p.m., Julia Hoffey will give a presentation on Julia's favorite 50. I encourage you to go there. It's like I said, halfway between Brighton and Howell, well within our listening audience, and worth the drive. See what they've got. So, what are we going to talk about today, Al? Do you got any idea? I mean, Gary didn't show up, so I'm kind of lost here.
Well, I happen to have a cheat sheet.
Okay.
One of the first things on the cheat sheet is about Mitch McConnell trying to prevent Senate Republican. It's actually what it is one of those bipartisan legislations.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. Bipartisan. I love that.
Yeah,
word.
That's supposed to try to protect.
That means liberal.
Yeah. Well, Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yep.
Well, they're trying to protect Mueller from being fired, and rightfully he should be fired, but Mitch McConnell is trying to scuttle the legislation that would protect Mueller and all his nefarious dealings.
Isn't that confusing now? Now, so Mitch McConnell is trying to stop legislation that would protect Mueller. And so I was looking into this, and it seems like the reason that Mueller needs protection, according to these guys, these swamp rats, is because they see him as a civil servant now. And he should get the same due protection that civil servants have. After all, he left his day job to come and do this. All these Clinton supporters that he has working for him, all these Clintonista lawyers that he has trying to investigate Trump. All these guys, you know, they have families to feed, and they took a big leap to come and pile on Trump. So they should have some kind of protection from some kind of spurious firing by Trump. So what is it? They were looking to get protection so that only Rosenstein could fire them and not Trump?
Well, Trump is Rosenstein's boss. He's
Yeah, it's amazing that way, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Hard
right.
to tell.
But Mueller's simply hired help. And if he doesn't perform and produce in a effective and fair manner.
Timely,
yes. He should be gone. Yeah. We shouldn't be having this discussion now. He should have been gone 6 months ago.
Yeah, amen, amen. Hey, if you have a comment, any special insight, any questions, feel free to call in 734-822-1600. Derek will be happy to take your call and patch it through to us. I will eventually see it on the board, and if you're Joe from Wyandotte, I'll try not to hang up on you instead of answering the call. Maybe we'll just leave that to Derek, delegate Derek to answer any calls that come in. So let's see the board light up. So, yeah, I mean, it's the whole Mueller investigation. I mean, we've talked about that for quite some time, but, hey, they're still doing it, right? Like, what the heck? So now what? The Democrats feel Mueller's not doing the job well enough, so now they want to sue the Republican Party, sue the Trump campaign, I should say. Is that right?
That's the new scenario. They're going to sue us. I guess they're going to sue every Trump voter out there, too, because because let's face it, the Russian collusion scenario is long gone. And they're just trying to keep it in the news and trying to kick this story down the road. But this story is dead on arrival, and it's dead now. And I don't care what lawsuits they bring against whoever in the Trump administration, it's going nowhere. There's no basis for it, but they are getting some media time.
Well, to my knowledge, what they're trying to do is collect damages because they're blaming WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks is a co-defendant in this. It's a civil trial, so it's not a criminal trial. So there's this thing about preponderance of evidence in a civil trial. If you remember, what's his face? O.J., the O.J. trial.
Right.
The civil suit against O.J. was such that he could be found guilty easier in the civil suit than in a criminal pursuit. So, because in a criminal trial, folks, in case you don't know this, you have to have, what's the term again? It's there can't be any question of your
beyond
being.
Beyond a
shadow of a doubt. Thank you. Whereas in a criminal trial, civil trial, you can have a preponderance of evidence. So,
well, the key word here, Ed, is evidence.
There is no evidence.
All there is speculation and manufactured evidence that is quite spurious and obviously has been debunked. But they're still trying to use that same old story. So we'll see how far they get with this. But I don't think they're going anywhere with it.
Well, they're suing the Trump campaign. They're suing Russia. And they're suing WikiLeaks. That's the important part. You know, I was like, I mean, are they really going to collect from Russia? You know, and WikiLeaks? I mean, Julian Assange is WikiLeaks. I don't even know if he has any money. You know what I mean? The guy's hiding out in an embassy, right?
Okay. Well, if they're going to sue Russia, now, who are they going to sue in Russia? The Russian government? The Russian people? Any nefarious actors in Russia? Any gangsters in Russia?
Yeah. No, the security service there. Well, yeah, but which hides behind, civilian organizations, you know.
You mean like the DNC?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking, like the DNC. So what the DNC is saying is that there were damages done to their servers, the ones that they would not turn over to the FBI as part of the investigation. So it's like, oh, let's see, I get broken into in my house, and the cops say, I file a police report, and the police say, well, we'd like to investigate. Oh, you can't come in. I don't want you in my house. You guys are cops. I don't want you in my house. I don't want you to see anything here. Oh, okay. And now I go and sue the guy, the burglar, that I think broke in without letting the police investigate.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I understand, you know, people trying to break into your house. But didn't the Democrats, like, invite these Pakistani operatives?
Oh, the Imran brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't they give them access to their
full
servers?
Access, yeah.
And when they tried to take it away, the brothers sort of hacked into the system and sent info to whoever?
All the data back to dad in Pakistan, from what I just learned, yeah.
Well, I'm guessing they're suing the wrong people here.
Yeah, I think so. They ought to be suing themselves, frankly.
That's right.
They ought to be suing Debbie Wasserman Schultz is who they ought to be suing. She's the one who go ahead.
Well, what's she doing these days anyway? I don't know. She's no longer
She's in the house still. Well, she's still in the house. She
is
still
she?
Has her seat, yes.
Oh, okay.
Such
All
as
right.
it is.
But she doesn't have a leadership position.
No, nope. She got that. She stepped down after found out that she was screwing Sanders in the campaign. Yeah.
Well, they disappeared her then.
Yes,
huh?
that's what Soviets do, yes.
Yeah,
so we've got a call from Joe from Wyandotte, and I'm going to trust Derek to answer that so that I don't hang up on him. Joe?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going?
Pretty good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good.
So what are we going to talk about?
Looking at on the Daily Drift, which is...
The news you need to know.
A look at unions in Michigan 5 years after Right to Work, which one of the leads is that union membership, except for the UAWs, somehow managed to keep their membership up for the most part. Membership is down, but most importantly, political spending, except for two unions, one of them, the Carpenters Union, for some reason, their spending on politics is way up, but political spending for the unions is way down, which is, you know, not... I was going to say ironic or whatever, but that was the cause of people wanting to leave the unions in the first place. Had they stopped their wild liberal political spending and wasting union members' dues on politics rather than official proper union activities, they wouldn't be losing membership.
Well, you make a good point there, and I want Alex to speak to some of those. Alex and I are former UAW members. Alex, much longer than I am. And Alex, are you still supportive of the union?
Well, I
had the impression you are.
Yeah. Well, I'm retired now, and I still pay retiree dues. When you say supportive, that I don't support the UAW leadership whatsoever. I think they sold us out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Sold our plant out, for that matter.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I'm sure Ed agrees, but no, I think there's a problem with UAW leadership's positions and what the membership really wants and how they are aligned politically. I know we're, what are we, deplorables?
Yeah, we're the deplorables, the basket of deplorables.
Right. Well, the deplorables came through in Michigan this last election cycle, and we basically delivered the state for Donald Trump. And I'm sure we're going to try to do that in 2018 for the next
midterms,
and then 2020.
So, two comments about union effectiveness right now is I heard Theron say the other day, "How come we're not getting gun manufacturers in this state? You know, we have such a machinery skills. Well, Alex and I are an example of that, and the skilled trades and automation, manufacturing." I mean, we have a manufacturing. We were the arsenal of democracy. And heck, even as Dick was saying a couple weeks ago on his show, Hydromedic at Willow Run was making M16s during the Vietnam War. You know, it's transferable technologies. And we could be doing that. And we're a right-to-work state. Why are these new gun plants moving to Georgia? It could be the weather. It just might be the weather.
You might have nailed something there.
Yeah. Well, we gotta have Al Gore. Can we get some climate change here in Michigan?
Brr, I'm too cold.
So, and the other thing is carpenters unions. You know, like my father-in-law is a member of the carpenters union. He's been retired for quite a while. And his pension is paid for by the union. So it's very important for them to keep the dues coming in to support. I mean, that's their only support is the incoming dues. It's almost like a pyramid scheme, you know?
Well, Ed, I think the problem with unions these days is, especially the UAW, which I'm very familiar with, is there's so much corruption being uncovered right now, and it makes organizing pretty tough when your VPs and
their wives,
yeah, and the
Chrysler,
yeah, Chrysler for sure, but you can guarantee the training funds that Ford and GM might be a little suspect, too. Well, hopefully there'll be an audit, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
But you can't organize if people reading the papers, you're stealing from the members and not giving them good contracts. So
yep.
We'll wait and see about that.
What can explain the Carpenters Union? Membership is slightly down, but yet their political spending has jumped 164%. What in the world are they thinking?
Do you know where their political spending is going? I don't.
No,
do you?
The article doesn't say that. That's
see, I'm wondering if it's to influence legislation to protect their union members and their jobs. Like, what do you call it? Prevailing wage. That's very important to these guys, prevailing
sure.
wage. Like, for instance, my son does work right now. And if he works for a company, and if they get a job that's in a prevailing wage area, man, his income will double, just double, boom, probably more than that. And, you know, that's very important to these guys. And so if that's the kind of political legislation they're pushing for, prevailing wage, it's not exactly right to work. It doesn't fly in the face of right to work, but it does in a sense because you're still pushing the wages up, which was the intent of right to work, was to protect the non-union member.
Well, the problem is there's sort of a Jekyll and Hyde sort of political agenda by the unions, I'm guessing the carpenters' unions too. I mean, rightfully so, I understand why they want prevailing wage, but they also back refugees and illegal immigrants, and that drives the wages down. So, I mean, they're fighting among themselves, and the rank and file are basically getting the short end of the stick. So, Ed, I can't answer why they're doing it, but they're doing it.
Joe, I want to say two things here. One is you've successfully, as I told Al you would do, successfully turned us away from the topics that we had to speak of when we walked in. You do it every week. I don't mind it at all. That's great. Great talking to you. The second thing is
just following
the daily drift
of the show. I'm supposed
That's
to be
right.
paying attention to the daily drift, and I am.
And I'm not complaining at all. That's great, Joe. Now, the other thing is that a friend of mine, Martin Church, is running for state senate here in the Ipsy area. And he pointed out something to me Wednesday night at our Bible study that of the candidates for the state, I'm sorry, U.S. Senate from the state of Michigan, okay? Of the people that are running for the primaries right now, including Debbie Stabenow, only John James is on the ballot. Nobody else has filed to be on the ballot but John James. I'm amazed. Bob Carr hasn't. Sandy Pensler hasn't. Debbie Stabenow has not. Do you know what's going on there?
I don't know. Yeah, they seem to be just waiting towards the tail end of the deadline. And I think James did it the right way. I think you want to get it out there right away. I know Bob has said in the past when he's run, he's filed right on the deadline date, and he kind of thought it was a good thing because he had all the press to himself because he was the only one at the office. But the way I view it is that you want to file early and get the early press, the way I'd say it. I'd say John James went about it the right way to do it this way.
I know you're a Bob Carr guy, and Bob Carr is pushing the ag connection that he has. And I was surprised when I was watching Fox the other night. I don't know if it was Tucker Carlson or Martha McCollum or who it was. But the talk was about Michigan and ag votes. And they actually did not mention Bob Carr, which really surprised me. I was looking for his name to be mentioned there. And they were actually mentioning Sandy Pensler in that regard. But that that Stabenow still had the edge because of her ag connections.
Absolutely, absolutely. With if Pensler is the nominee, the likely that 11% rural Republican vote that crosses over and votes for Debbie just because she's on the Ag Committee will remain at 11% in her back pocket. And you cannot afford to give away that 11% of the GOP vote when we're on the short end of the stick to begin with normally.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they would have left out Bob Carr, but I do know the James campaign, somebody in the campaign has some connection to Fox News nationally, so he's on there a lot. He's trying to run a national campaign to get Michigan, and so far it's not working. He's third in the Mitchell poll. So.
I saw that. I saw you post that on Facebook, and your group's name is?
Thanks a lot, Debbie Not.
Okay. There you go. There's a plug.
Yeah, we need everybody to join that group, catch up on the latest news regarding the U.S. Senate race, you know, post things about your favorite candidate. It's not about one candidate. It's all about defeating Debbie Stabenow. I created it on November the 9th of 2016, the day after the last election, knowing that we had to start early and beat on her often if we're going to beat her.
Now, I know you're, like I said, I know you're a Bob Carr guy. I'm kind of, I don't want to burn any bridges, but I'm kind of a John James guy, and that's because I'm a racist. Okay? I actually see race factoring in this race. I think John James, and you're the guy that convinced me, oddly enough, you know, the winning 30% of Wayne County. I'm thinking John James, you know, if he can get in these black churches, if he can get these black voters to come out Republican, he's got the creds with white conservatives across the state, you know?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I was early a Bob Young supporter.
Same here.
Factoring in there.
Same here. I was a racist with Bob Young, too. All right. Well, Joe, anything else before you go? We're going to hear the music in a second. I know that.
No, yeah, we're hitting the bottom of the hour. Well, thanks for the extended time. I greatly appreciate talking with you guys, as always. Take care, God bless, and love you.
Well, same here.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
So, I got to kill a minute.
Okay.
Hey, Derek, can we speed up the clock a little?
Kill a minute?
Well, I really don't want to get into anything too deep after this, but
We got a minute.
Come on back after the break. We're going to discuss Starbucks and coffee and the oncoming Civil War. United States.
Not on, are we?
Pardon me?
We're not on, are we?
We're on air.
How about that? I didn't think you could talk about coffee.
Coffee.
Yes. However you spell it.
Yeah. So welcome back after the break. And please feel free to call in. We'll be right back.
always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. Family, friends, and former presidents crowded into Houston St. Martin's Episcopal Church today to bid a final farewell to Barbara Bush. Presidential historian John Meacham eulogized the former First Lady.
She was a point of light. In 1989, when many Americans lived in ignorance about HIV/AIDS, Mrs. Bush went to a home for infected infants and hugged the children there, as well as an adult male patient. The images sent a powerful message, one of compassion, of love, and of acceptance.
Barbara Bush died Tuesday. She was 92. North Korea announces an end to nuclear and missile testing. Lawmakers react.
This is fantastic news, a lot of great developments. However, we have to be cautious. We have to keep that strategy up of maximum pressure.
New York GOP Congressman Lee Zeldin on Fox. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Chris Tangeman from Howell.
I had back surgery. I had to go there for like 3 or 4 weeks, and let me tell you, they were just superb. I'm in this industry. I'm an LPN, and I mean, they're just excellent. The aides, the nurses, everybody. I thought especially that their therapy department was just phenomenal, and I would absolutely recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney, now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Whether you're moving across town or across country, you can always rely on Two Men in a Truck for home, business, and long-distance moving. Two Men in a Truck sells boxes and can provide expert advice on packing your valuable items. Need storage? Visit Two Men in a Truck's new 12,000-square-foot climate-regulated facility. Long and short-term options available. Two Men in a Truck. Dino Drive off Jackson, west of Baker. Call 734-973-6683. Two Men and a Truck. Movers that care.
Are you weary of the snow and ice? Of course you are. It's time to think warm thoughts, embrace spring, and get ready for your best ever season on the links. And we're here to help. Hi, I'm Bill Hobson, the host of Michigan Golf Live, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning starting May 5th on Wham Talk 1600 as we celebrate the greatest game on earth. It's Michigan Golf Live starting May 5th here on Wham Talk 1600.
Since I was a teenager, Savoy Brown. Yeah. Yep, nothing like white boys singing the blues, you know?
I like all the old songs.
Yeah, yep, yep. WABX went back in the day, you know, standing out in the driveway working on the car listening to this. So, speaking of singing the blues, we had some guys in a coffee shop, in a Starbucks. Well, you know, I don't know why anybody wants to go to Starbucks and pay $10 for...
$4.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. And so these guys were asked to leave because they weren't buying anything. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but somebody comes into my store and just hangs around and doesn't buy anything and takes up a seat. I don't know enough about what was going on in this situation to know whether or not it was packed and these guys were taking up valuable seating space. I mean, I know that a lot of people go and they just use the Wi-Fi. People use places like this as a meeting place. I've met people before, but I don't know. Maybe it's just the way I was raised. If I'm going to go into Tim Hortons for a coffee or to use the bathroom, I'm going to buy a coffee on my way out. It's the price of admission. If I'm going to go to Starbucks to meet somebody, I'm going to buy a coffee. Now, I don't know. I'm sorry you got to pay $10 to Starbucks. You could have gone to Tim Hortons, you know.
Right.
You could have gone anywhere. Big B's. McDonald's.
I think this was in Philadelphia, and I'm not sure the exact area in Philly, but they might get a fair amount of vagrants through there. You go into a coffee shop. Yeah, you buy coffee, or at least indicate you will.
Act like it. Well, I'm looking at the menu.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm waiting for my friends before we place the order.
But the way these guys, I got to say, at least these guys comported themselves when the cops took them away, right? So if you saw the video, if you didn't see the video, I'll describe it to you. Basically, customers are asking the police, why are you taking them away? What did they do wrong? Well, obviously, they weren't, you know, shouting, screaming, throwing, flinging food, but they were, the term is trespassing. And the police came in, talked to them. It looks like, you know, to me, I would expect the police to say, will you please leave? And if they don't leave then you take them away. And then the black police chief, their boss, he says, I have no problem with what my officers did. So there's more to this story than I think meets the ear, right?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but it seems like the police officers acted responsibly. I think the people that were sitting there without buying a coffee probably should have just indicated, I plan on buying a coffee.
Yeah. We're waiting for a friend. When he gets here, we'll order.
Right.
I mean, I've done that, but then I've ordered, too, for that matter.
Right. But then it wouldn't be a story, would it?
No. But what happened after that I thought was pretty funny, because there's this guy who Twitters as Jesus Hotep, and he's a motivational speaker. He's not a rabble-rouser. He's a pretty good guy, and he's got a good sense of humor. So he did a video of himself walking into Starbucks, and I don't know if you've heard this or not, but I'm going to play it for you anyhow. Derek?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I heard y'all was racist, so I came to get my free coffee.
I saw that.
Yeah, I heard you guys don't like black people, so I wanted to get my Starbucks reparations
not
voucher. What's that?
Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing.
I mean, I'll give it to you. I saw that on my Twitter last night. I was like,
yeah, I need a free coffee.
I'll give you a free coffee.
That's what I'm talking about. This is justice.
Where was it?
Billy? What? Are you serious? Oh, okay, I'm going to finish this up. This is justice. This is what I'm talking about. It's
great customer service. Yeah, I was reading that and I was like, there is no way.
Absolutely.
You're making me mad.
Could you imagine?
Ever here.
You just throw some milk in it?
Sure.
Whole. Yeah. Reparations, man. Gotta get my reparations for being black in America. Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. What? Do you have any flavors in it? We got caramel, hazelnut.
I'll take caramel. Is that gonna make it sweet?
Do you want it to?
Yes.
That's great. That's absolutely great.
I work with a guy at work, a guy named Ricky. He talks like that, and he would do that. He would do that in a heartbeat just to have a kick out of it, you know? I mean, and if you were that barista and say you, I don't know if this, would you dare not give him the coffee?
Well, these days, I think you dare not.
Yeah.
But I wonder if I could go into a Turkish restaurant and demand reparations for the Ottoman Empire and get a free meal. I wonder how that would work.
Are you what's a holoma? Armenian?
No, I'm not Armenian, but the Ottoman Turks, you know, controlled a large part of Europe and
Got it.
Ran amok and hurt the people there.
Yeah, all right. Thought you were going to say you were
Armenian.
I didn't think Wassel was an Armenian name.
Yeah. No,
not Wasselinian.
Yeah, okay. That would be it.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so let's see. We're still looking for phone calls for people who have cogent comments about the subject at hand. Once again, though, how far is reparations going to go? It's going to, if we ever went into reparations for slavery in this country, it'd be more than a cup of coffee. It'd be a ton of bucks. And would it be enough? So the guy goes in, he says, I want my reparations coffee. Well, now it's not a black coffee. Now it's got milk. Oh, yeah. And I'll take some of the, what do you think?
Well,
the caramel. And then, I'll take it. Yeah, please. Thank you. Hey, you're really a nice person. Thank you.
Well, this guy did us a real service to point out the ludicrousness and the hypocrisy of this whole you owe me a coffee thing,
Yeah.
Because no one owes you anything in this world. I mean, my family came to the United States in the early 1900s. I mean, we didn't have a handout or, sometimes we were poorly treated. They were coal miners in Pennsylvania.
And serious?
Serious, yeah. And then
I wonder if your grandparents knew my grandparents.
Well, yeah, if they're around Erie, PA, or, the coal country.
California, PA.
No kidding.
No kidding, man.
Okay.
Right on the Monongahela River.
Okay, well then.
My brother!
That's it. That's right. I guess we really are those bad people. But no one owes you anything in this country, and especially these days. I mean, we fought a civil war to over the issue of slavery. We've gone way past that. If there is any discrimination these days, it's more individual and it's not systematic. And I tell people, come on, get to work, live a good life, be prosperous, and things will be better.
Amen. Amen. Well, and we're seeing this fractiousness, speaking of fractiousness, a divide in this country over this issue, there's the liberal conservative, fractioning
right.
of this country. And I was watching a Wild Bill YouTube video that a friend of mine had put on his blog, and I get it in my mailbox because I share the mailbox with Gary, and I think he subscribed at one point to Wild Bill. And Wild Bill was talking about what he believes is the upcoming civil war in the United States. And a friend of mine who blogs, in fact, I had him on the show a few months ago. We were interviewing him about the CalExit thing. That was Jim. He was blogging just yesterday about the same thing. Are we going to see a civil war? And if we do see a civil war, if we were to see a civil war, what would that look like in this country? Would it be geographical? Or would it be community or fratricide? So it turns out I see in my inbox from the Daily Caller, somebody wrote an article yesterday, about seven forces driving America towards civil war. But we have a caller, Gary from Hazel Park, and I don't want to be rude and keep him on the line because we'd be talking about this for 15 minutes. So maybe he has some thoughts on it, and maybe he has some thoughts on Robert Mueller instead. So, Derek, would you put on Gary, please?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, guy. What's up?
A civil war in America would be bloody. It would be a mess. I mean, it would be hard to draw lines. It would be hard to figure out who to shoot at. But I did call about Mueller and this notion that you can't fire him because his lawyers need job security because they got families to feed.
I think that was a joke.
Well, no, but, the point is, though, they were supposed to get, civil servant protections, 10 days notice and the ability to file for a reprieve, the show cause. And it was civil service type protections they were trying to be given. So, and I kind of expanded that to, they got families to feed. It's a job,
Well, maybe if you could expand it a little further, maybe that's why they don't want to close the border, because the ICE agents have jobs and they got to feed their families.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Maybe they don't want to do anything about drugs because, the doctors need to take care of the patients.
Well, those drugs. I thought you meant the other drugs.
maybe that's why Obama let all those felons out because, after all, the cops got to go find them again.
Yeah, yep, yep. You know,
with that logic, you don't have to enforce anything or do anything because everybody needs a job.
You know, the letting the felons out, I know somebody who was in prison, and he had a nonviolent crime, and he saw guys getting out who were violent criminals, but the Obama administration let them out because they were drug-related, you know, and yeah. Go ahead.
I'd like to see, like, 5 years after, where these men are, what they are doing. I mean, was it justifiable to let them out, or have they killed again, or what? I mean, it'd be impossible to do such a survey. But it'd be very interesting to see how much actual carnage Obama has on his hands due to these felons he released.
Well, it'd be similar to Fast and Furious for one. We tracked how much damage was done there, and then the DOJ does track
recidivism.
Yeah, that word.
That word.
Yeah. The going back to crime rate. Yes, that word.
Right. Well, I think what you're talking about, there are costs involved of not protecting the border, of not keeping felons that are in jail and violent in jail. I mean, these costs cost you, me, Ed, you know, the taxpayers, you know, needed tax dollars that could go in for infrastructure or to make America great again. And if we're wasting it, you know, by letting people through and then through the border and then paying for their health care. I mean, that's crazy, and I agree with you. We need to do something about it.
Yeah.
You bet. And that's why we elected Mr. Trump. And hopefully after him we'll get Pence or somebody equally level-headed about it and take care of business and save America. That's the plan.
That's the plan, save America. And it's that goes along the lines of what we're talking about, a civil war. I mean, you know, a civil war would be the end of America. I mean, I don't know if we'd recover. I think one of the first premises, though, about a civil war is I see it on Facebook, I see it on blogs, I see in the comments, I'm in, I'm up for this, I'm ready, sign me up, I'm a vet, I swore to protect the Constitution. You know, hey, I'm 65 years old, I'm still climbing around machines and equipment, and I'm still pretty good with a gun. But I'm not a 35 years old, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll just put you in a chair someplace and give you a gun and say, hold this position.
Okay, that's great. But now here's the point I want to get at. In the Civil War, some guys fired an opening shot at Fort Sumter, all right?
Yes.
All right? Who's going to fire the opening shot, and who's going to call it a civil war and not just some nutcase? In other words, who of stature is going to stand up and draw the line and say, follow me, boys, because that's the guy that gets shot first.
True, but when it's a civil war, you'll know. It's not going to be a secret.
Well, I think what we have going on now is a cultural war. And if we allow this to continue, it could lead to a civil war. But the whole beauty of the Constitution is...
Oh, I remember that. I remember that Constitution.
That's
yeah.
Right. The whole beauty of the Constitution and our republic is that we're supposed to follow the laws, follow the will of the people through elections. And this stuff will work itself out. But right now, they're trying to bypass that, to go around that, and that would lead to conflict eventually. I hope we never get there, but you never know.
Well,
the culture wars was pretty much lost. I think we're in what I would characterize as a cold civil war right now. We haven't started shooting, but we're definitely drawing lines.
Well, the first point in this seven forces driving America towards civil war is, quote, we're in a post-constitutional era. And that's the sad point right there. That's the glue that holds a nation. That's the charter. The Constitution isn't just laws. It isn't just a declaration of legal standards. It's the glue, the charter, the founding document for our nation. This is the thing we're supposed to all be in agreement on so that we can all refer back to the charter and say, hey, you know, you're violating the charter. And now we don't care.
All right. Well, here's one last question between the two of you. Would you rather live in a block of 10 or 12 states that's free and you are a sovereign citizen or live in the United States of America where everything's give or take?
Obviously, people want to live with freedom, and hopefully it won't get to the point where it's a block of states versus, you know, the United States of America. But obviously, our forefathers chose freedom, and that's what every legislature Slater is supposed to raise their hand and pledge allegiance to our Constitution to uphold and defend and protect mm-hmm. it.
Oh my goodness!
Did you see the video?
Did you see the video of the master sergeant who was reaffirming her oath on reenlistment, where she did a hand puppet motion while she was reciting her oath?
Right.
Oh my goodness! People really do that nonsense?
We've got to be serious about it. We've got to become American patriots again, and that will lead to peace and prosperity. If we don't, I hate to see where that leads to.
Well, what's your answer to the question, Gary?
What's the question? I would rather live free in a block of states, if that's what it comes down to, because I do not want to live in a socialist society. I want to live free. I want to be a sovereign citizen unto myself.
Do you depend on Social Security, or will you depend on Social Security?
Yes, but I think Social Security was the biggest mistake this country's ever made.
I didn't say, was it a big mistake? I said, do you depend on the largesse of the United States like a lot of people do, especially us those older guys?
I'm a vet, so I depend upon a lot of the veterans of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not retired yet, so I'm not living on Social Security. But my wife is. She retired because of mental problems, which I shouldn't be talking about on the radio.
Well,
is she a liberal?
No.
I'm sorry.
You know what? Social Security is something we've paid into, and it's an insurance.
Yes,
it's an insurance program.
That's not an entitlement.
You paid for it. You deserve it. And if they don't spend it by giving it to people that haven't paid into the system, we'll be okay.
Yes, but if you have a civil war, and you're no longer the federal government, you no longer have a federal government making those payments, you're rocking your own financial boat. That's where I'm coming from. I'm not opposed. Don't get me wrong. I'm just bringing up a point here.
Right. Well,
are you willing to live off your garden in your backyard and bartering with your neighbors?
Well, I'll tell you what. These are the times that tries men's souls, and people will make that decision at the time. You know, what's more important? To live in freedom or to live in tyranny? I think most Americans would like to live in freedom.
I think most young people these days, they've been inculcated in the indoctrination of the public school system, and they'd rather be socialists.
Yeah.
Gary?
Well, that's true. And see, we'll have to make all those other decisions as the time wears on, as other things develop, whether or not we actually start firing at each other. I mean, if we start firing at each other, plant something in the backyard as fast as you can.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. I remember Theron was talking about cataclysmic events and what happened if there was a breakdown in society. And he had people calling in, and one guy called in and said, well, I have a deal with my neighbors. They have a lot of food, and I have guns. And he says, so what do you mean by that? He says, well, I'll provide them security, and they'll provide me food. So then I called in after the commercial, and I said, well, he says, Ed, what are you going to do? And I said, well, all my neighbors have food, and I have a lot of guns. And he says, so? I says, well, all my neighbors have food and I have guns and they don't. You got it.
What are you telling me? You can't grow food there, Ed?
Well, you know, hey.
Hey, remind me, we're not neighbors, are we?
Yeah.
All right, you guys, you take it easy. Have a good time.
Thanks for calling in, Gary. Talk to you later.
Very good.
So, by the way, before we go much further, I want to talk about, no, I don't. I want to talk about Civil War a little bit more.
Sure.
Some of the things Gary brought up, you know, are in this list. I mean, there's tribalism. There's the moral decline. Right there, there's a big one. Moral decline means that people are not, they don't have the integrity and the integrity to stand up for values and self-worth. Some of the other things we're looking at here are lack of a shared culture. That's a big obvious right there. But that could, in fact, be related to lack of morals or moral decline. I mean, it used to be in this country that even if you weren't a Christian, you gave lip service to it, you know? And nowadays, you've got like that one professor who was saying, I'm glad Barbara Bush died. You know what I mean? That's down on Bushes, and it's going to make their sons hurt, especially the war criminal. And somebody can actually say that on TV and get kudos. You know, it's like that's a lack of a shared culture right there.
Well, I think what people need to know is when they attack the current culture, people will say the left attacks the current culture. They want to destroy it. You can't overturn a society without destroying the old one. And what we're seeing is an attack on the old society that's worked great. You know?
Yeah.
Unless we're ready to do what's necessary to get out to vote in 2018, 2020, to make sure that your school boards are teaching the kids pro-Americanism or America first, we're going to have a problem. So it's up to us to engage in this cultural/civil war and make sure it continues at the ballot box and not in the bunkers.
You know, I feel like I've been counterculture all my life. When I was, you know, young, I was counterculture. You know, hippie, counterculture. Now that I'm old, I'm counterculture. Darn the hippies. Get off my lawn, hippies.
Right. You know? Right. Well, the thing is that we had a basis. Our parents provided a basis of what was right and wrong. And even though you grew your hair, you didn't disavow your country.
Right.
And today, I'm not so sure.
So I'm wondering, what would be a major trigger of a civil war today? Would that be them coming after the guns finally?
I think if they overthrew Trump through some sort of shenanigans,
wow.
I think that would be a big one. I think right now the Second Amendment is still sacrosanct in our land and in the Constitution. It's something that won't be overturned in the near term. But I think if they overturn election results, that's a trigger.
See, back in the original Civil War, there were major factions, and they had major orators and leaders. You know, the South had people that, you know, were politicians,
sure.
And there was a block of people behind them. And when I look at the conservative block of leaders today, except perhaps for Trump, I don't know where Mattis stands, to tell you the truth. I don't know where, you know. But I'm wondering who would be the rallying cry, who would be the follow me boys guy, we've had enough of this, let's take them out. Because somebody's got to draw the battle line, somebody's got to stand up first, somebody's got to make the call. And I don't see anybody doing that.
Well,
not without going to federal prison for the rest of their natural days.
Right. But what you're doing here at WHAM and what
Hey, I'm
Theron,
not leading the Civil War. Don't get me in prison.
And what Theron is doing at WHAM and on the social media where conservatives have a real voice, although they're trying to take that away, is fighting back. And that's what we're doing.
Yep, and that's what we're doing. And that's our mission here besides, you know.
Drinking coffee.
So thanks for coming and joining us on The Drift. Al, thanks for coming in and joining me.
My pleasure.
Thank you for all of you for listening. Don't forget, check out thedailydrift.com. If it's for the news you need to know. And thanks, Derek, for all the help. I appreciate it.